Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
If you have your Bibles this morning, just kind of hang on because we're going to be in a lot of different places throughout our time together. Last Sunday, if you remember, when Robin was doing the connection cards, she had asked you to write down your favorite Christmas song, and there was a reason why I was having her ask you that question. Some of you gave me reason to pray for you throughout the week with some of the songs you wrote down. And the artist who sang those songs, I was just like, oh, dear Jesus. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But because what we wanted to do is just kind of use some of those songs as a framework for this series entitled Christmas Playlist that we want to spend over the next several weeks talking on and so talking through. There are several, as I get ready and jump into today's message, and I can't really say, hey, we're just going to camp out in this text because we're going to be in several different areas of the Bible this morning. There are several songs on a Christmas playlist that mention angels. Angels we've heard on high, the first Noel, Hark the Angels Sing, Angels from the Realm of Glory, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, What Child Is This, Hallelujah. We could go on and on talking about this morning, and I don't want so much to talk about those songs, though we will use some of the songs as a springboard for our conversations for the messages in the coming weeks, as I do want to, as I look at the Christmas story, I don't know. I know that I've never really gone where we're going to go today in the years and in the couple decades that I've been preaching Christmas messages, never have gone where we're going to go this morning. And very rarely, I could probably count on my hand, just use a few fingers, a number of fingers, the times that I've heard about what we're going to talk about this morning. So it could be interesting. And it could be a traffic wreck. But buckle up, because we're going to try it, all right? I mean, how many are into trying something a little bit new? You don't have a choice. We're doing it anyway this morning, all right? So we're going to talk about angels this morning. You're like, well, that's a different Christmas message. I've never heard, you know. But we're going to look at the subject of angels this morning. And let me ask you a question. What do you know about angels? If someone was to come up to you tomorrow at your place of work, or your neighbor, you're out raking your neighbor's yard because you don't want his leaves to inhabit your yard anymore, so you're raking your neighbor's yard, and they came up to you and just said, hey, how would you describe an angel to me? What would you say to them? Because here's the truth. This is my opinion, but I think the world does a better job talking about and describing the dark side and the forces of hell and the demonic beings that they portray in movies than the church does talking about the right side, the light side, the subject of angels. Though it isn't something that we should be, that should consume our thoughts, it's not something that we should be infatuated with, it should be something that we need to be informed about, to know about. I mean, as we step into the Christmas season, you'll see, can you bring me the handheld mic? We'll see yard ornaments of angels. You'll see stuff in stores. You'll hear the songs and et cetera and et cetera. But what does the Bible have to really say about the subject of angels? Thanks a lot. We're going to look at that. Why is this topic? I think it's an important topic because as believers, as someone that would follow or consider, maybe you're pondering being a follower of Jesus, I think it's important that we understand that when you give your life, when you give your heart to Christ, you enter not only into an eternal relationship with the living God, but also you enter into a really living a supernatural existence, an existence that angels are very much a part of that.
And so as we step into the Christmas season and you hear the songs and you see the decor and you read the Christmas story, you see that angels really are everywhere within that story, don't you? I mean, you open up your Bible and you see the account of Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist. Angels come and visit him about what is going to happen in his life. Mary sees an angel. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, has several encounters with angels. The shepherds see angels. The wise men have a vision and very could have been that of an angel. But in your Bible, there are over 110 scriptures that reference the subject of angels. And two-thirds of those are within the New Testament. And so it's a very significant part of New Testament Christianity. I mean, most of us, when we think of angels, we think of Michael Landis and Highway to Heaven, or the show Touched by an Angel, or Robin's favorite, The Preacher's Wife. You know, then we do referencing scripture to build our theology, to build our belief on it. And as we dive into this, can I just say this kind of as a side note? And I know people mean well, and sometimes we say things and we mean well, but those things that we say aren't really true. And can I just encourage you, when you are speaking with someone who has lost a loved one, specifically you hear it more when they've lost a child, don't ever say to them that God needed another little angel. Because they're not an angel. And I understand what we're saying when we're trying to offer comfort, and sometimes in those moments we don't know what to say, and so we say things that you know we really shouldn't say, and I'm not trying to make a big deal about it, but the reality is, as human beings, don't become angels when they go to heaven. So now is your opportunity to look at that person that you're sitting next to today and say, you are no angel. Right? Angels are created beings. So let's just talk about it real quick this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to cover a lot of area this morning, but angels are created beings. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For through him," speaking of Jesus, "God created everything in heaven, in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things we can see and things we can't see." There are a whole lot of things that you and I can't see. And that doesn't mean that they're not real. The invisible world is very real. The spiritual world is very real. The spiritual realities really are the greater realities, because that is what you're going to be stepping into for eternity. It says, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Most scholars believe that Paul is speaking of angelic beings. Everything was created through him and for him. So they were created. You say, well, when were they created? They were created before the world was created. Job, a person that you find in your Old Testament, in the Old Testament scripture, a person who had gone through horrific tragedy, asks the question many people ask, if God is so good and so loving, then why? I mean, Job, a person who lost everything, you read through his book, and Job is challenging God and of what has happened to him. He is saying, because it doesn't make sense to me, it can't make sense. It can't be real. You can't be a good God. And God's response to Job is, you're wrong. The book of Job reminds us that there are things that happen in life that we can't explain in this life, right? It reminds us that there are things that happen in life that cause us to believe that some things can't be reconciled in life, and if I can't reconcile them, then it can't be true. And we causes people to ask questions, man, when bad things happen to good people, a good God sits on the sideline? And if that can't be, so therefore God's not real, God's not involved, God doesn't care, and we come up with a list because we try to reconcile it with our mind, and it's wrong because if just because we can't explain something doesn't mean it can't be reconciled. What does God say to Job? Look at it. Job chapter 38, verse 4 says this. God asks him this question. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, can you explain to me the realities of the physical world? I mean, if you can't explain the things that you can see, right? How are you going to explain to me the things that you can't see? And granted, with technology and advancements and where we are in society and things that have moved, still, we can't explain everything, can we? I could say something, but I'll get myself in trouble if I do that. So tell me, he says, if you know so much, who determined its dimensions, it stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundation? Who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Job, who did that? Explain it to me. Unpack that for me. And the angels were there before the creation of the world. Angels were created. They can't procreate. How many angels are there? Well, Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 says this. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. We don't know the exact number other than to say, man, there's a bunch of angels. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says, no. It says, no, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. So there's a lot. What are they like? I mean, how do you describe them? Well, angels, or scripture describes them in several ways for us. Describes them this way, that they're living beings, that they have a personality, that they have a will, that in fact in Ezekiel chapter 28 talks about the fall of Lucifer, who is Satan, and he says he was perfect in wisdom. He has intellect. Matthew 28 at the empty tomb says that as they encountered the angel's response to them, I know who you're looking for. In Revelation 17, come out and I will show you the things that are going to happen, the angel mentions. And so they have an intellect, they have knowledge. Also, they're intelligent, but they're not omniscient, meaning they're not everywhere at one place. Only God is omniscient, true? He's the only omniscient being. Angels are learning and growing, and they're learning about salvation. We read the scripture there in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I just marvel at this. I've been thinking about it all week. They, the prophets, spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Angels want to look into the gospel. They are watching the grace of God being lived out in your life, my life, in other people's lives, and they marvel at it. I mean, sometimes I wonder if they're like, God, did you see what so-and-so did? Can you believe they did that, you know? And God's like, hey, my grace, watch my grace, watch my grace. Watch the gospel live out through their life. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, our life verse for the day. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Think about that, man. There's times in my mind's eye, I see God working in your life and you responding to the gospel in some way, and the angels in heaven going, wow. You know, whatever their names may be. Hey, man, you need to pick your jaw up because you just saw the gospel. Yeah, I know. I'm just blown away by God's goodness. He does so through the church. He does it through you, me, through Bill, through Joe, through Nate. Think about the angels being amazed and blown away by all that God is doing and has done. We know this. They also have emotions. Just a simple reference to that reality is in Luke chapter 15. Verse 10, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Not only do we, on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, when someone comes to faith, and or you have an opportunity to lead someone to faith, and you come back on a Sunday and you screw in a light bulb out in the life wall just as a symbol of God redeeming somebody, not only are we people rejoicing for you and with you out in the foyer. It was funny, a couple of weeks ago, a kid on Wednesday night came to faith, and Nathaniel let them all out into the foyer, and they went to screw in a light bulb, and the students were meeting in here, and they were kind of having a worship moment, a powerful moment. And I'm like, okay, guys, be really quiet. Don't cheer loud. Angels got that covered for you. They're like ministering in there. And then, so they, Nathaniel directed him, and they went back down to the other end, closed the doors, and it was like, ah! Why? Man, if the angels rejoice over one coming to faith in Christ, shouldn't we? You know what I'm saying? Students, on Wednesday night, you're having your special outreach service. I encourage you to invite your friends, because you never know when the gospel will grab a hold of somebody's heart and change them for eternity. They have a will. They can choose. They can choose to serve God or not to serve God. We learn that from what happened with Satan. But Revelation chapter 7, verse 7 and 9 talk about that. I won't take time to read that. You can make a note and reference that. But they had a choice to choose who they're going to follow. They can also, you also see that in Jude chapter 1, verse 6, with Moses, the body of Moses, and the angel's conversation there. We know this, that they're spirits, they're not ghosts. They have a heavenly body, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They can't be omnipresent, I already said that. But what do they look like? That's kind of a real question. Because, I mean, some of us, even this morning, have thought, I wonder if I've ever seen an angel. Well, Scripture describes them in several ways have several different types of angels. There's the cherub. The cherub has four faces, one head. The face of an ox, a face of a lion, a face of an eagle, a face of a human. Why do they have that? I don't know. Ask God when you get to heaven. They have the seraphim. There's six wings. Two, they cover their face because of the glory of God. Two, they fly. Two, they cover their feet. But not all angels have wings. There's the archangels that you see in Scripture. But we also know this, they can appear as humans or as people. You see that happening in the Old Testament with Jacob and Abraham. You see that happening in the New Testament examples with Peter and some others. But in Hebrews chapter 11 or 13, verse 2, we read this: don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. It's the idea that there are angels who are interacting with you and me as we go about our days and our weeks, and you may never even know it. So it's good for us to be aware of this whole reality. You say, well, Steve, have you ever seen an angel? To which I don't know, but I will tell you that when we were youth pastors in southern Missouri, the church that we were serving at and loved the church was going through a difficult time. And it was a Sunday morning service, and this guy walks in and he sits down. And I can remember interacting with him, though I don't remember everything that he said. And I was like, there's just something not off, not weird, not like anything like that. But there was just like, man, there's... And I can remember interacting with him, and he had some interactions with some other people, and he said some things that were very specific to our church, though this was the first time that he ever been there. And I can remember we went through the service ended, and I remember watching him walk out of the sanctuary, and I was like, man, I gotta go talk to that guy. And I walked out, and he was ahead of me quite a ways. Made it through. I couldn't go see him go through the doors or anything like that. He said he was a truck driver. So I headed out to the parking lot expecting to see a truck there, and there was no truck. He was gone. And I'm like, what's that? So they appear can appear in a way as humans, and we not even be aware that they are. They're powerful. They hold back wind currents, Revelation chapter 7, 1. I'm praying that I'd get one in my front yard to keep my neighbor's leaves out of my yard as the wind blows. But anyway, angels can be deadly, 2 Kings chapter 19. See an example of that? But as I say those things, as incredible as they are, we are never to worship them. We are never to be like, John the Revelator gets to the end of his letter in Revelations, the very last book in the Bible. And as he encounters Jesus at the beginning of his letter, now at the end of it, he encounters an angel. And his response to the angel is this in verse 8, Revelations 22, I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers, the prophets, as well as all who have obeyed what is written in the book. Worship only God. We never worship angels, nor are we to be obsessed with them. What do angels do? Do they sit around playing harps? Do they play cloud hockey all day? What do they do? Two things, primarily. Let's look at them real quick. One is they minister to God. How do they do that, Steve? Well, they do that by worshiping him. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Man, as I think about that, as I stopped and paused and listened to you guys sing this morning, and I understand not all of us in here are like, man, can we just get through the song service? Because I'm here for the word. I'm here to be with the body. I'm not much of a singer. I get that. But understand, it's going to be an incredible moment when we step before the throne of God and experience Revelations chapter 5. You get a glimpse of them as they are sitting around Jesus' throne. John tells us that it was Jesus' throne that Isaiah writes about in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2, when he says, attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their face, two they covered their feet, and two they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's army. The whole earth is filled with his glory. I could see just by look at some of our faces is like, for eternity? Do you think we'll get sick? Do you think they ever get sick of saying that and responding in that way? And you know, when I've thought that way, such a thought betrays our understanding of how great God is and how small of an understanding we have to him. One day, when we step into eternity, we will understand how and why we are able to respond, and they're able to respond that way and not grow tired of it. They not only worship him, but they serve him. They are messengers for him. The Christmas story tells us that. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the village of Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. They also carry out judgments. Revelation chapter 16, verse 1 through 3, talks about them carrying out judgments. We know also in Scripture that they do spiritual warfare, that they're involved in this battle. Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, incredible man, wrote this, if our eyes could be opened up spiritually, we would see angels and demons engaged in a struggle all around us. You see an example of that in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. But for 21 days, when the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way, this is an angel speaking, then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, that there's this battle going on. Ephesians chapter 6 speaks of it. But angels ministering to God by worshiping, by serving, by bringing judgment, and for battling for the Lord. But what else do they do? Secondly is this, they minister to people. What do angels do for you? Angels are God's active agents, ministering to us in ways that we don't even know, delivering messages from God to you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. In the account of Joseph and the angel coming to Joseph, delivering a message to him. But you say, well, that's in the Bible. That's a long time ago. What do they do now? So this week, as I began to think about this message, thought of a friend of mine. He's really my mentor. I look at him as my spiritual father. He has traveled the world doing mission stuff. He's pastored, and he's a man of incredible prayer. A man that I highly esteem. And so I said, "Hey, Bo, have you ever seen an angel?" Sent him an email. "Have you ever seen an angel?" And he got right back to me. I was amazed how quick he got back to me. And he's like, "Well, I can't say that I have personally. As I've preached, I've had people come and tell me that they've seen angels in the sanctuary as I was preaching. But our oldest son, Ryan, when he was just a baby, came down with meningitis. And the doctors told us that you better be planning for his funeral. He's not going to make it." And we were praying. The church that we were serving at was praying. We had people all over the globe praying for little Ryan. And my wife was up at the hospital with him one night, just praying, just being by his side. And this nurse came walking into the room. And Paula had never seen this nurse on that floor. Came walking into the room, picked up Ryan, and said, "God has a plan for your son. He's going to be all right." Put him down and left. And Paula, Bo was sharing with me, came out, and I see all the nurses in the row going, "Yeah, nurses rock, right?" But Paula was like just kind of taken back by that and left the room and went to the nurse's station and was asking, "Where is that nurse that was just in my room?" And the nurses at the nursing station like, "Well, what are you talking about?" She searched the hospital for this person, asked again and again for this, and never saw that nurse again. Pastor Bo was saying to me, Paula would die on that reality that she believes that nurse was an angel. And Ryan pulled through. The doctor came in like days afterward and said, can you tell me something? Can you explain something to me? Why is your son still here? I have people that are older than him that weren't in worse condition than him, and they're dying, but your son is getting better. Explain that to me. And so she did. Angels guide us. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." Acts chapter 10, with Cornelius, you see angelic involvement there directing him to Peter. Angels also provide for us. 1 Kings chapter 9, chapter 19, verses 5 through 7. We won't take time to read it this morning. But God bringing angelic beings, bringing provision. There's been times where people would ring our doorbell or our doorbell would ring. There was no food in the cabinets or in the refrigerator. We're just like, man, there is more month than there is money this month, and we have testimony to share about it, right? And the doorbell would ring, and when we were in Bible college, and no one would be there, but there would be bags of groceries. No one knew our situation. I don't know if that was angelic or just someone being prompted by the Lord, but I know God provides. Angels protect us. Psalms 91:11, "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go." How many parents have prayed that over your kids, right? When we call on God, God sends his angels to protect us. And so let me just say this with that reality, you don't have to be afraid. With things that you're looking at right now and situations you may be facing or things that are coming down the road, you don't have to be afraid. There are angels watching over you. They're assigned to you. They're caring for you. God loves you so much and values you so much. Think about this. He values you so much. He is going to watch over you, but not only is he going to watch over you, he is going to give his angels charge over you. That's why you should worship him passionately. When we die, they escort us to heaven. Luke chapter 16, verse 22, it would appear that this would be something that would happen. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham. I don't know exactly how that's going to work out. I don't know exactly how that all unfolds, but it appears to be the case in other passages of Scripture as well. Again, you see it happening with Moses in the book of Jude. What else do they do? When the Lord returns, they will gather us up. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. You see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when Christ returns and the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel. And you see read that whole passage there in 1 Thessalonians 4. Angels help us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, the Message paraphrase puts it this way. Isn't it obvious that all angels are sent to help out those who lined up, help out with those lined up to receive salvation? I mean, the reality is, this is a supernatural world that we live in, that we're a part of. No, you like look at me like, what pastor eat this morning? You know, no, it's a reality. There's much more going on than we understand. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's a scholar, wrote this in reference to his Romans 7 commentary. It says, a very wonderful thing, and one which we tend to forget, is every Christian has and should enjoy the privilege of the service of the angels. We notice in the Gospels that at given points and at given times in our Lord's earthly life, angels came and ministered to him, strengthening him and helping him. When he stated it explicitly in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? That refers to everyone who is a Christian. Because we are Christians, the angels of God are at our service. They are ministering spirits sent forth by God to serve and to minister to you and to me. Though we are unconscious of this, they are exercising this ministry. We are surrounded by them. They are unseen, but they are there. They minister to us because we belong to Christ. We sadly neglect and forget the service of angels, but if ever you feel lonely and bereft and feel that you do not know what to do or where to turn, remind yourself that your heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has sent angels to minister to you as he did to him in the hours of his greatest crisis and his greatest agony. End of quote. Man, God's awesome. You may not be aware of their presence. But let me remind us, it's just good for us to know we are never out of his care. In times of crisis, you may have wondered, were they there? God, are you here? But they may have been surrounding you. If the worship team would come, I want to close with this powerful story. Story of John G. Patton. Patton was a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. He took the gospel there to those islands that were inhabited by cannibals. And when he got off the boat, the captain of the ship said to him, I've dropped others off here. And they didn't come back alive. They will eat you within weeks. John G. Patton felt called by God to do the ministry there, to reach the people with the gospel. So Patton and his wife, who was pregnant, disembarked and camped on the beach. Within a matter of weeks, his wife gave birth to their first child, and both of them died in that delivery, both the wife and the child. So John G. Patton buried his wife, buried his child on that beach, and slept on their grave for weeks in fear that the cannibals would come and exhume the bodies and eat them. And 20 years later, John G. Patton was leaving the islands, and he wrote in his journal these words, I came to these islands to the sounds of cannibal drums. And I've left to the sound of church bells ringing. As he was boarding the ship, one of the chiefs came quickly, said, Patton, I must know something before you leave. when you came to the island, who were those men with you? And he responded, there was no one with me. It was just me and my wife. And the chief said, no. There were hundreds of men in shining garments and with swords. We saw them every day as we watched you from the jungle. Patton didn't know that they were there, but they were surrounding him. Angels proclaimed the promise of the coming Messiah in Luke chapter 1. Their ministering spirits sent from heaven, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Let me just say this to you as we end this morning. God cares for you. So much so that he would use angelic beings to minister to you, and you don't even know. We're not even aware of it. It's fun to look back. I mean, we had conversation this week several times, you know. Shot Robin a text during the work day on Tuesday. Have you ever seen an angel? Have you ever seen an angel? And we were bantering back and forth about things. And so it's an interesting conversation to have, and ponder. But the big thing is, this morning, is God cares that much for you. You're not alone. What you're facing right now, you're not alone. God wants to use the church to minister to you, but also he's going to use the Holy Spirit to minister to you, but also he's going to use angelic beings to minister to you. Would you rise with me? During communion, we sang this song, and it's appropriate, I think, as you open up to, and as you look, I just want to read this to you in Revelations 11, or 19 rather. You may be here this morning, you'd say, you know what, I've never allowed Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. When you talk about angels providing care for those that belong to Christ, you're here this morning, you go, man, I don't know if I belong to Christ. I don't know if my life demonstrates that. Well, you know what? If that's the question that's going through your mind right now, then the proper response probably should be, you know what? I need to make sure I take care of that and allow him to be my Lord and Savior and allow him to provide the care that you spoke to us about. But look at this. After this, I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, and true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again, they shouted, hallelujah, smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God and who was seated on the throne. And they cried, amen and hallelujah. Then the voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard the sound of like a great multitude with a roar of rushing waters, like the sound of peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. He added, these are the true words of God. And the awesome thing is whosoever is invited to that wedding supper, whosoever can join with that incredible chorus of heaven. And what must you do? Is you must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I didn't say you must become a LifePoint forever person. You must go to this church forever. I said you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Should you go to church? Absolutely. But it's all about him. And if you've never made that profession, if you never made that decision, then, man, I would beg you to do it today.
Everybody dance. Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.